the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this August weekend, as summer winds down for so many people and schools are about to reopen or have already reopened in many cases. Some Italians are starting to return to their hometowns and cities after a long vacation period of travel time or time spent at their summer home in the mountains or by the seashore. Next weekend in Italy, the final weekend of August, will be the great re-entry when millions return home and get back to work. My guest this week in the interview segment is Dr. Blythe Kaufman, founder of the Children's Rosary, an international prayer group movement for children. We met a few years ago when she was in Rome for a special event with her son Asher, who over the years has been by her side in promoting the Children's Rosary worldwide. A mother of three, Blythe is from Connecticut, is an endodontist, and an associate professor at the University of Connecticut School of Dental Medicine. This week, we look at how the Children's Rosary has grown throughout the world, and Blythe explains how to create such a prayer group in your parish or school. Their conversation comes after the news, so first, let's look at some headlines. Sunday, August 17th. Last weekend, for the second time this summer, Pope Leo was in Castel Gandolfo, having returned there on August 13th for the Ferragosto holidays. On the August 15th Solemnity of the Assumption, he celebrated Mass in the parish church of San Tommaso Villanova, and Sunday the 17th, he presided over Mass at the shrine of Santa Maria della Rotonda in the nearby town of Albano. After Mass, Leo returned to Castel Gandolfo, where he addressed some 2,500 pilgrims gathered in Piazza della Libertà for the Angelus. And after the Angelus, in the stunning beauty of the Papal Gardens, in a large gazebo erected for the occasion, the Pope joined 100 poor people for a catered lunch. Leo personally greeted each guest at lunch and thanked the serving staff as well. Monday, August 18th. In a message to the Summit of Ecclesial Conference of the Amazon region underway in Bogota, Pope Leo XIV wrote, "It is necessary that Jesus Christ, in whom all things are recapitulated, be proclaimed with clarity and immense charity among the inhabitants of the Amazon, so that we may strive to give them fresh and pure the bread of the Good News and the heavenly food of the Eucharist, the only means to truly be the people of God and the body of Christ." He asked that the bishops keep in mind three dimensions that are interconnected in the pastoral work of that region: the mission of the Church to proclaim the gospel to all, the just treatment of the people who dwell there, and the care of the common home. Tuesday, August 19th. Pope Leo visited the shrine of Our Lady of Grace at Mentorella in the Diocese of Palestrina. After some time in prayer, he visited with the Polish resurrectionist religious who serve at the shrine before returning to the papal residence at Castel Gandolfo. Now, Mentorella is about 40 miles southeast of Rome, and the shrine sits atop a mountain. It holds a special connection to several pontiffs. Pope John Paul II, just 9 days after being elected pope, made a pilgrimage to the shrine. Pope Benedict XVI visited in 2005, and Pope Innocent XIII, 1721 to 1724, had requested his heart be buried there. Tradition says it was the place where St. Eustachius converted in the 2nd century. 200 years later, Emperor Constantine built a basilica on the spot where the saint converted, and it was consecrated by Pope Sylvester I in the years before 335. Also August 19th, speaking to journalists Tuesday evening before returning to the Vatican from Castel Gandolfo, Pope Leo, referring to negotiations for an end to the war in Ukraine, said, "There is hope, but we still need to work hard, pray hard, and truly seek the way forward to find peace. Regarding possible talks with certain leaders, he said, "We pray and try to move forward." He was speaking around 9 p.m. as he left the summer residence to return to Rome. About an hour earlier, the Holy Father had spent time greeting the many people who had gathered to see him off. It was already dark when he walked through the gate of Villa Barberini and stopped to talk to some jubilant faithful. Wednesday, August 20th. Due to the high temperatures in Rome, the weekly general audience was held in the Paul VI Hall with overflow pilgrims inside St. Peter's Basilica or outside in the courtyard parking lot area of the hall. Continuing his series of catechesis on the Jubilee theme of Christ our Hope, the Holy Father focused this week on Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection by considering the Lord's forgiving love, especially how the Lord, despite his having been betrayed, loves his disciples until the end. Pope Leo then spent 75 minutes after the catechesis greeting individuals, groups, families with children and babies, and newlyweds. He also went to the Basilica to greet several thousand faithful waiting there. At the end of the audience, recalling the August 22nd liturgical commemoration of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Father invited the faithful to celebrate that day by praying and fasting for peace. Mary is the mother of the faithful here on earth and is remembered as the Queen of Peace, said Leo. Also August 20th, in a message to the 17th International Congress of Moral Theology, Pope Leo XIV encouraged participants to approach modern moral issues, quote, following the wise and always timely example of the saints, such as Saint Alphonsus Maria de Liguori. Known as the doctor of moral theology, Saint Alphonsus was able to find a balanced synthesis of the laws of God and the dynamics of man's conscience and freedom, at the same time assuming a charitable, understanding, and patient attitude towards his brethren, thus becoming a visible sign of God's mercy. Leo urged moral theologians to follow the example of St. Alphonsus and other saints as they reflect on, quote, the challenges, changes, and conflicts of the modern world in the light of divine revelation. Thursday, August 21st. In a message to participants in the 46th Meeting of Friendship Among Peoples in Rimini, Italy, Pope Leo asked them to remember that peace is made up of daily gestures. He also warned of the risks and challenges posed by the digital revolution. Leo encouraged participants to be peacemakers, full of hope, who work for the common good. The Rimini meeting has taken place annually since 1980, when it was founded by Communion and Liberation. The 2025 theme is, In the Vacant Places, We Will Build with New Bricks. Friday, August 22nd. Among the individuals Pope Leo received in audience this morning were President Vavel Ramkalawan of the Republic of Seychelles and Cardinal Raymond Burke. Well, those are the top news stories, but now stay here for my conversation with Blythe Kaufman and her son Asher as we talk about the prayer group movement she founded called Children's Rosary.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I am a brand new Catholic, and I will say it's totally because of what God did in my heart because of EWTN. This show was a huge, huge help to me as it answered so many questions.
I just want to give you guys a big thumbs up. You guys are great. I really love the rosary with Father Groeschel and Simonetta. I tune in every day.
I'd like to say you're a treasure to the Catholic Church, and we're blessed to have you.
Journey into the very heart of Holy Mass with Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite by Father Robert J. Fox. Drawing from his experiences at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama, and his global apostolate, Father Fox shares insights on the Holy Eucharist. In these pages, he shares his rich teachings on Scripture, the faith, Eucharistic miracles, the Fatima apparitions, and more. Whether a lifelong Catholic or newly curious, this book will guide readers into a deeper understanding of what truly happens at every Mass, where time and eternity intersect in the liturgy. Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite, by Father Robert J. Fox. This month's EWTN RC Book Club selection, now available at EWTNRC.com or call our U.S.-based call center at 1-800-854-6316. Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my listeners to a new edition of Vatican Insider, and therefore a new interview segment, but not new guests in the interview segment. In the past, you have heard me speak to Blythe Kaufman and her son Asher when they were in Rome a couple years ago for a big meeting of families, and they're in Rome right now for the Jubilee of families and children and grandparents and the elderly. So we'll be getting to that in a minute, but I do want to say that their original interview explain to everybody what a lot of you who watch TV already know. Have you ever heard of the Children's Rosary? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So I begin by saying welcome, Blythe.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan, for having me on the show.
And Asher.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's really an honor.
It's been an amazing time. Here we are with a new pope. I think it's something like 3 weeks and 3 days that he's been pope, you know, since we speak. For somebody who's just tuning in today for the first time to hear your name and hear the words Children's Rosary, just very briefly explain the beginning. What prompted you, Blythe, to found this?
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yes, the Children's Rosary is a prayer group movement for children where the children meet in parishes, schools, and orphanages to pray the rosary as a prayer group. But it began very simply from a call from my pastor at the time that was worrying for the future of our church financially. And I was asking for more collections. When that didn't improve, an idea came in prayer. Maybe we should bring our children to pray for our parish. And I asked his permission, and he granted it. And on April 10th, 2011, a small group of children gathered before the altar to lead a rosary and pray for our parish. And it would turn out that we just had, you know, just a small number of groups. Some of the children had disabilities. As it would turn out, we didn't particularly invite them, but that was who came. And our collection was the highest, second only to Easter and Christmas for the remainder of the year. And it was just a beautiful signal grace of the power of the prayers of children. And we spoke among ourselves and said, is this going to just be a one-time thing? Or should we make this something that's ongoing? And from there, the Children's Rosary was born, and ultimately we continue to spread beyond our parish and internationally to about 45 countries. We've had groups initiated.
Well, and the thing is, where you have children, you're going to have their parents. And so whichever children might have come, you know, the first year, if they had brothers and sisters, or somebody calls up, you know, Aunt Mildred and says, hey, why don't you bring the kids? It's the most amazing thing, you know. And then you discover families already prayed the rosary, maybe the month of October or the month of May, or they didn't, but now they're starting. So there has to be some pretty wonderful fruit from that, and we will certainly look at the expansion in a minute. But I do want to take a second here to talk to Asher, because we did speak to him, the work he's done with his mom over the years for Children's Rosary. But I have learned since the last time we met, Asher has a vocation. Tell us about that. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so since then, yeah, I've really honed in on this feeling that I'm being called to the priesthood. And so at this point, I'm moving ahead with entering the seminary for my archdiocese, which is the Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut. And I think it's really, in a lot of ways, it really is a fruit of the Children's Rosary, because
sure,
having a prayer life and consistently turning to our Lord, praying to our Lord through this most preferred of his prayers is a wonderful way to consistently try to remain in touch with what his plan is for your life. What his plan has been for my life. So I think that's been a wonderful blessing for me.
Well, and the rosary is going to get you through every day of your life. Anybody listening, no matter what you do, the rosary is such a wonderful prayer. Our Lady loves it. The corona, the crown, as they love to call it here. And corona also does mean rosary in Italian. If you've got Mary loving it, her son is going to love it. And if you're asking Mary and her son for help, I think you're probably going to get it. And Asher, just thinking of your life
in the seminary for a certain number of years, how the rosary will get you through each day. And then as a priest, just think of the people you can inspire, which you've done today, not being a priest, but being a very faithful Catholic. And just think of the, especially the young people. But once you bring young people in, kids, children's rosary, as I said, you have their families. So that's something exciting for you to look forward to.
Most certainly. I think when you talk to most priests, they have a lot of kind of staples of their priesthood, anchors of their prayer life. One of them, of course, is the Divine Office. But for most priests, the other one is the rosary, you know, and their Mass. So that they have to, you know, keep that in their daily schedule consistently, because it is such an important prayer. But as you mentioned, not just priests, right? Lay people also, if they're going to be faithful Catholics, it's really important to have that consistent prayer life and to get it started when one is young, when one is a child, in this manner that one is in community with other children, developing that prayer life is so important.
Absolutely. And if they can enjoy it when they're little and see that it makes sense, or let's say a family prays together, the children pray, and something really nice happens to the family, if parents can link that to prayer. Look how God answered our prayer. Look how God helped us through this tough time. And hey, kids, don't you think it might be the prayers that you have, the rosary that you say? Now, Blythe, tell us, do you first go to a bishop in a diocese? I know you're around the world, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but like in the U.S., do you go to a bishop and ask for permission to visit parishes? How does that work?
Well, the prayer group movement really began in a grassroots way, so it was really like a person hearing or seeing it, and that could have been visiting a church where there's one being happening, or seeing it on television. The Children's Rosary has been airing on EWTN regularly for at least 10 years. And so you can go to your parish priest and ask permission, or at a school. So we're in schools and parishes. So you could this could be a teacher who's introducing into her class, or a whole school that's doing it in each of their respective classes. So there's different ways to introduce it there. But you do need to ask permission if you're going to do it in a parish setting to the parish priest. Get his permission.
Sure.
And if there's any kind of special training you need to do in your diocese for your work with children, you do that. And then you choose, like, are we going to meet weekly, monthly? We do ask that you meet in churches, not in homes, because of our safety reasons.
Sure.
For that. The way that this has really spread has been really person to person. We also have a Zoom meeting once a month for different regions of the world. So for the U.S. and Canada, one particular day a month, and all of that's on our website, childrensrosary.org. But then we have one in French for French-speaking countries, one for German-speaking countries, one for the Ireland and the U.K. And so people can drop into that meeting, and I'm always present, and then there's other group leaders giving updates of their groups, but new people finding out how to start them. We've had support from bishops across the different parts of the globe, and also putting their support behind it and connecting us. Bishop Lavassi recently worked with us, and we're launching children's rosary groups in all of his Catholic schools in the Diocese of Manchester, New Hampshire in the United States.
Great.
So it's really been from the bottom up and the top down. So it's not just one direction. Praise God. We've really had support in all areas of the church.
Well, you know, and just think about how a family hears about this, a church hears about it, and it's Thursday night in your parish at a certain time. A family wants to bring their child. I'm just imagining how the parents can even grow in faith by just watching their child. What are we talking about? 7, 8, 9? What is the age group?
So we always say 4 to 14, but that's a real loose guide, because, you know, families have multiple children that are of different ages. So we've seen people coming pregnant with, like, a couple little ones, and then a 7-year-old, and then the little ones are watching, and they're you know, they may be kind of toddling around, but then they make their way up, kneel down next to the other children that are kneeling in front of the altar. We have suggested flowers to place at the foot of Our Lady at the end of each decade, so the younger ones can do that, but actually the older ones like to do it too. And so in the parish setting, the multiple ages, it's really nice to mentor them. One, the older, feeling really engaged by standing up at the podium with a smaller one holding their little children's rosary book, perhaps. And so the leading of everybody in the pews, the families, maybe people coming in for Mass, if it's before Mass, perhaps. It's really developing leadership in these children.
Sure.
And the other thing to mention, people say, we pray the rosary. There's something about praying in a group. St. Louis de Montfort, in his book, The Secret of the Rosary, which is a, you know, a classic in the church, it says that if you pray in a group, you not only get the merit of your own rosary, but you get it of the others as well. And so this idea that if you're seven people in your group, and it doesn't have to be large.
But there's reinforcement. I don't care if you're praying the rosary or playing some kind of sporting game or in the kitchen teaching a cooking class to 10-year-olds. There's reinforcement when there's other people. And you look around, you see the smile on somebody's face when they're in a group, because they're not the only one. And then the thing is, if you do make a mistake, you end up knowing that you're not the only one in that group that made the mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start the Hail Mary off with the second part instead of the first part. I think we have all done that multiple mm-hmm. times in our lives, and you end up laughing. But still, there is reinforcement that comes with the group. And it has to be not only for the children involved, but for the parents, how they have to be reinforced or are reinforced in their decision to, you know, partake in this. Tell me about, because this is so fascinating, in your email to me about coming to Rome for the Jubilee of Families and Grandparents and so forth. And by the way, I understand you know Marilyn Henry and Catherine Wiley.
Yes.
Of the Catholic Grandparents Association.
Yes.
I was with them quite a few days last week as they had their first international meeting just outside of Rome. And if I recall your email correctly, in a couple of days you're going to knock.
Yes.
To be there for a big event, expecting about 10,000 people to show up. So in the little time we have left, tell me about the expansion, what countries you're in, and then let's look at the NOC trip for a minute.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So we've obviously been established in the United States, but and then we saw a lot of growth in Africa, Uganda in particular. Last year we sent 120,000 handmade rosaries out to our groups, but in particular about 105,000 went to Uganda, which has really been a very fertile area for us in groups. But what's been really surprising and refreshing, I should say, is our spread in Europe. So we've been seeing, we have about 20 vibrant groups in Germany, which may surprise people, but we've got people coming from an hour away to groups because they, what we're hearing is they're feeling isolated in their faith and they want to be with other practicing Catholic families. And so I'm thinking of one particular shrine that I heard a lot of the people attending were elderly, and after they started their children's rosary, they had people coming from an hour away, and they realized we have families now attending the children's rosary, and they had a little fellowship. A lot of our groups will do that with some food afterwards, sometimes just a cookie or something, but this particular shrine had a little bit more, and they started planning all sorts of young family activities for the shrine. So it was really revitalizing parishes and places like that. But also, you mentioned NOC. Ireland, we've got about 50 groups now. So it's, Ireland is spreading extensively.
And you're evangelizing this way, too.
Oh, absolutely.
All of our, not only our new Holy Father, Pope Leo, but all of his predecessors have told all of us, our job, well, main thing is to become saints. But to do that, we have to evangelize, allow ourselves to be evangelized, and evangelize others. So you're doing that with the rosary, with children.
Well, praise God. It's the rosary is a very effective way to sanctify people. And when they're sanctified, then they themselves are spreading things. So it has become, what's been really beautiful to see is in Germany and Ireland, where groups will become, after 6 months or so, so strong that they then invite neighboring parishes or people from neighboring parishes to come see what they're doing. And that spawns more groups. And I've even had help from the German group leaders running French meetings now with translation, because they're multilingual, and they're sharing what they're experiencing, because a lot of people think, well, yes, they can do that in Africa. They were very secularist, but can my children do this? And I think this is showing where it's spreading so extensively in Europe now. A child's soul and his heart and her heart are fertile soil. So all you
yes.
have to do is plant. You don't have to weed. And so really any child is going to be open to prayer. And you just have to go young enough. You're capturing them at 4, 5, 6, 7. They're wonderfully open to prayer. And then as
sure.
they get older, engaging them and sort of helping the younger children is really a successful pairing.
Well, I'm so excited to hear you talking about Europe, because all of a sudden we seem to be reading about and hearing about this rebirth of faith in so many places. This Easter, I don't have the figures before me, but this Easter, before the vigil where people were being baptized right in the huge numbers in the UK, numbers in Ireland going up. So something is happening, and you know what, folks? Maybe we just have to pray a rosary that continues. Now, tell me just a moment more about NOC and
This is the 40th anniversary of the All-Ireland Rosary Rally, and over the past about 4 years, the Children's Rosary has been involved. The last 3 years, the Children's Rosary has actually led a rosary there before all the pilgrims. And so, again, this year, we're going to have a very large presence. We're going to have a stand. We're going to have the children leading the rosary for the expected 10,000 people to arrive. I myself am going to speak at the event briefly. And so we're expecting groups to be coming from, Children's Rosary groups to be coming from different parts of the country with buses and in some cases. So a very large turnout, and they'll be very visible with their Children's Rosary t-shirts and banners and flags and so forth. So we're hoping, again, to it to be a very positive experience of fellowship for all the groups coming together.
Tell us how somebody listening to this would love to do this for their family. They might make an inquiry in their parish. How can they get more information on how to set up a group in their parish?
Wonderful. So it's childrensrosary.org, and then from there you'll see in the bottom corner there's links to all our other languages, kinderrosenkranz.com, Rosario de Niños.org, rosariadesenfants.org. So we have our materials in many, many languages, so it's all very, very accessible.
Well, I'll be sure to put that on my website, and I know we did that the last time that you were here as well, because the Friday before Vatican Insider airs on a weekend, I always post a blog about who my guests are, post pictures, so I don't want to forget to take those in a minute. And Blythe, you have a busy schedule, and so have I, and so has Asher, but thank you so much for your time today, and I wish you huge good luck. And more than anything else, my next rosary is going to have a bead dedicated every day to Asher and to your vocation.
Wow, thank you so much.
So God bless you on that. And God bless both of you in your time in Knock. Please say hello to our mutual friends. Rest assured you will have a lot of support from Rome. We hope someday to get this into the Holy Father's hand and have him shout out a welcome at a Wednesday audience or something. But in the meantime, God bless you both and safe travels. And I know we can pray for one thing, maybe a little cooler weather. Anyway, God bless and take care.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.